God's mercy, love, and peace are yours in abundance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you just love Christmas time? Don't you love hearing a good Christmas carol? Like, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. We love a song like that to lift our spirits. We love the message of Christmas that we've come to expect each year. We love a prophecy about Jesus like this one. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How we love a passage like that, and we can't wait to hear it each year. We might even take this passage and put it on some kind of a decoration and hang it up in our living room at Christmas time. But just like with so many things, we tend to have selective hearing. We tend to love a passage like this, but a passage that maybe is a little more scary, those we forget about. How many of you would have a passage like this one put on a plaque to put in your living room? His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That one doesn't have quite the same ring to it, not quite the same mood as the one about the Prince of Peace. Maybe you noticed that the gospel lesson for today also had kind of a serious and warning mood to it. So what are we to think about all those passages that talk about Jesus as the Prince of Peace, when today we get a lesson that sounds much different? As with many things in Scripture, when the Word speaks a warning, we take a warning. When the Word speaks comfort and peace, we take comfort and peace. So where it speaks, we listen. And today, we take warning. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. How I wish it were already kindled. Now, the word Jesus uses in this passage to say, bring fire on the earth, it's really just the normal word that we would use for throwing, like to throw a spear or a stone. So isn't that an image to think about? Jesus is basically picturing himself as flamethrower, the one who casts fire on the earth. Now, how does that possibly match up with our image of him as the Prince of Peace? Jesus, don't you know what Isaiah said? Don't you know what you're supposed to do here? You're supposed to be the Prince of Peace. What Jesus says in this lesson is so unexpected to us. He says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Yes, Jesus, that's what Isaiah said you would do. You're supposed to be the Prince of Peace. Jesus goes on, no, I tell you, not peace, but division. So what do we do? Do we scrap every passage in the Bible that has the word peace? Do we get rid of all of our Christmas songs about the Prince of Peace? How do we possibly square this all up? In this section of the gospel for today, Jesus takes the opportunity to give a dramatic warning. He wants to make a stark and exaggerated statement so that we cannot miss it. He's reminding us that this earth is not full of sunshine and rainbows, and at the end we'll gather one and all to sing a majestic rendition of the circle of life. No, there is sin and unbelief in this world. Sin and unbelief that will be separated by the fire of God's word. And so today, we take that stern warning to heart. We heard in the Old Testament lesson, Jesus spoke of his word as a burning fire, or like a rock, like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces. does that fire look like as we see it in our lives? How does that hammer go to work in our lives? We know the sin that loves to cling inside our heart. We know the things that we like to hide away and harbor in our heart. But the word separates. It sets it apart to be burned from us because we cannot ignore sin in our heart and we cannot harbor it. We cannot hold on to it. And so the word is like a dividing fire. It is like a hammer that breaks a rock to pieces. And it must strip that sin that we love so dearly. It must strip it away from us. So that at the end, we are not stripped away from our God forever. How does that word separate? We looked at one of the images that Scripture gives for us. The prophecy about Jesus and his winnowing fork in his hand. Now, I never really understood what that verse was talking about until I got it explained in a picture. So the winnowing fork is that wooden pitchfork-looking thing, and the person would take a shovel full of grain and fling it up in the air, and then on a breezy day, the wind would blow away the extra stuff, the chaff, and then all the good wheat would fall down, and so it would be separated. One pile of good stuff to be gathered into the barn, and the extra stuff, the chaff, would be gathered, and that was the pile that would be burned with unquenchable fire. So the word divides, sets aside our sin, and so the word divides between believer and unbeliever. What division is made during our life here is also the division that will be made eternally. It's a serious warning to take heed of. Jesus tells us that this warning will even happen inside of the family. Even amongst those that we love so dearly, division will take place. Jesus tells us two will be divided against three, father against son, mother against daughter. Even the ones that you love most, even the ones who live in your own house, may have sin seize their heart. Even the ones that you love most might be divided from you in this world. Jesus isn't just taking an opportunity to tell us that sometimes our family might drive us nuts or we might have crazy in-laws. Jesus is telling us of a stern and stark reality. Sin divides us in this world, and it may even take place within your own family. And how difficult that pressure can be when you're the one that has to be the bad guy. Because your conscience is captive to the Word of God. That can be the hardest pressure on earth to deal with. But we cannot ignore sin in our own heart, and we cannot ignore it in our family or in our friends or wherever we see it. No, we must let the Word work. And so we look deep into our own heart. And we let go of the sin that we love to harbor, and we let the word burn it away. And so we lay our sins bare before our God, confessing and crying out for mercy. And so also true love for the ones that we love calls us to call sin, sin, and to call our brothers and sisters and our family members back and to point out sin. No one likes to be labeled the bad guy. But we must be willing to make that sacrifice for the sake of Jesus' powerful word. So is that all there is? Is that all tonight's message is? Is just a fire and brimstone warning to wake us up and send us away scared? Or is Jesus still our Prince of Peace? Is he still the one who brings peace as we normally hear about every week? How do we resolve this? We know that the rest of Scripture does tell us Jesus is the one who comes to bring peace. Jesus said it to his disciples, "I tell you these things so that you may have peace." The Apostle Paul tells us these words, "Jesus, he is our peace. He's the one who came and preached peace to those far and near." So why on earth does Jesus say he's not the one who came to bring peace? Why does it seem like he's contradicting himself? We have to look carefully at just what Jesus is intending to do and what he's speaking about. So as Jesus makes that statement, "Do you think that I came to bring peace? No, not peace, but division." Jesus is talking about our relationships here on this earth. He's talking about the people that we live with, and he's telling us his purpose isn't to make peace with everyone that we know here on earth. His purpose isn't to make peace in our family. He's not talking about his true mission to bring peace on earth between us and between God. He's making an exaggerated and dramatic warning so that we listen up. Jesus tells us that in our relationship with others, we certainly will not have peace. In fact, all men will hate you because of me. That's what Jesus tells us about what's going to happen with the people around us. And how true we find that to be as our Christian beliefs have become the one thing in this world that really cannot be tolerated. So we find Jesus' words to be true. But now, how is he our Prince of Peace? So far, we've skipped over one verse, and it's really the key verse to understanding this all. It's Jesus' words, which came after his initial warning. "I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." Now, what is this baptism that Jesus was talking about? Jesus was already baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness. So what is this baptism he's talking about that still needs to be completed? This was Jesus' way of talking about everything that he knew was going to happen. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus spoke about this baptism into death, a fiery baptism, if you will. He spoke about everything that he knew was going to happen. Soon he would be immersed in suffering and death. Soon he would be buried in the grave for the sins of the world. Who of us, if we knew that that was going to happen, wouldn't have headed for the hills the fastest way we could get away? But no, our Savior is our friend and Prince of Peace, and knowing everything that was going to happen, Jesus went resolutely forth and set out for Jerusalem, walking the road that would lead to his own death, knowing just what lay ahead. We see that moment most of all in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why we sang, "Go to dark Gethsemane tonight." It's not the middle of Lent, but that song brings us to the place where Jesus experienced the full height of his distress while he was waiting to fulfill that baptism into death. And so we know his familiar words as he looked forward to the cup that he was going to have to drink, the baptism that he was going to have to undergo. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." So the words that we heard today, "How distressed I am until it is finished," those words echo here in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then on the following day, those words echo most of all as our Savior hung on the cross. As there, a father turned away from his perfect son so that that son might bear the sin of every last person on this earth, so that he might bear the sin of you and me. Jesus was distressed to finish that baptism, and as he hung there on the cross, he proclaimed for our sake, "It is finished." And he sunk away in the death. There, once and for all, he experienced this baptism into death to do away with sin forever. So also the writer to the Hebrews calls us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. Each time that that word appears, it means finisher. It's the same word. The finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the one who brings fire on the earth is also the one whose joy it was to bear God's wrath in your place, to take the fire of God's wrath on himself so that it wouldn't be placed on you. So Jesus is truly the Prince of Peace, your Savior and friend. He is the one who has reconciled you to God, who has made peace between you and God for all of your sins. And so also he is still the one who comes with fire on the earth. We take warning where he warns, and we find peace in the peace that Jesus has brought us with God. So also he calls us to follow him. Just as we've been talking about in our sermon series, followers, all summer long, Jesus calls us to obey his word, to put those words into practice. And as his word divides, there's an interesting benefit that comes. As the word divides between unbeliever and believer, so it unites believers together into a group here on one side. And oh, the benefits of that group as they gather together to put God's word into practice, as they are united into a true family. That's what we have here at Mount Olive. Family growing in Christ. That's our motto. God's word this evening equips us with many things. Peace with God through Jesus' fiery baptism. Equips us with the comfort of believers gathered here, a family that knows God's word and obeys it and puts it into practice and loves it. Finally, God's word this evening sends us with a powerful invitation. Who in your family has been divided? Who do you know that needs you to reach out with an invitation to once again come and see Jesus? Who do you know needs you to reach out, call them back, and bring them back? I know who it is in my family. Who is it in yours? Make a plan to do it. Pray about it. Pray so dangerously about it that the next time you see them, you just have to do it. See it through. Because God tells us that his word is powerful. And he will accomplish his purpose through us, through his powerful word. Amen.